Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 76 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for a few different things, I guess. This is being recorded a few days after Inter-Napoli. So there's going to be a post-match reaction element to this. But to be totally honest with everyone, stinker of a game. Vibes are pretty low. And there's some other news that is definitely worthy of a conversation. So I think we'll spend a lot of time with you guys on that today. Nonetheless, this is happening after the Napoli game, so let's give you the times and the score. So it was a 1-1 draw at the San Siro, goals from Matteo Darmian in the 43rd and Juan Jesus. Man, has that guy been in the headlines in the 81st minute, which puts Inter, obviously they're well ahead in Serie A on 76 points. The closest in second place is Milan with 62 after 29 match weeks. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. All right, Gianni, so we'll get into a bunch of different things. Really quickly, off the bat, I do want to send my thoughts and prayers for Joe Barone, who passed away at the age of 57. He was the CEO, general manager at Fiorentina. So I grew up in the neighborhood with the Barone family. I was part of the Brooklyn Italians. I played with his sons, went to high school with his sons, coached, for the Brooklyn Italians, and that was all opportunities that Joe gave me. And it's a really, really sad time for the neighborhood. I tweeted out that he did a lot to, progress the sport in Brooklyn specifically. So it's very, very sad. And 57 is way, way too young. So my condolences to his family and his friends. It's a big loss, and I don't, when Comiso first bought Fiorentina and he went over to Italy, it was kind of like, someone that I knew as the head of the travel team, and I played with his sons, and it was kind of a shock to see him go over to the Serie A, but he did very well. Fiorentina has made a little bit of a comeback, and with the Conference League has been able to get on the European stage and play some important games. And it's really, really, really sad and a big loss for Italian football, for sure. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too familiar with him myself. Never had any experience or any interactions with him. I did find out from my dad that I went to high school with, I guess, a niece of his, which is kind of funny. I mean, it is the same name. I just never thought that they were related by any means. So I did reach out to her and kind of send my condolences. But that was more so because of me knowing her than me knowing Joe Barone. So, but yeah, 57, like you said. I mean, I think about it, like my parents are in their 60s. So to think that, someone even younger than them, had that unfortunate incident is, it's crazy, man. Kind of brings you your own mortality.
Yeah, it's obviously a terrifying experience for his family, and just very, very sad. He was definitely a good man, and good at his job too. And he did a lot for my neighborhood, specifically in Brooklyn. So rest in peace to Joe Barone, and all the best to his family. So starting off on a sad note there, but moving forward into some of the vibes here. So I just want to have like a quick discussion before we touch on this game, just about this Inter season and how how things have unfolded, because I don't know if I'm alone here, but it feels like we went from being on the top of the world to, you know, an early exit out of the Champions League. Obviously, the result against Napoli, like the bad vibes have sort of continued, to now a couple stories that have come out. One, a accusation of racism against Acerbi during the game, where apparently he used a racial slur towards Juan Jesus. There's an investigation going on, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in depth. And then also with the reports now that Oak Tree apparently wants to take over Inter, and that's not necessarily a great thing, right? We don't know what their intentions are as far as a sale or anything like that. Apparently Oak Tree is not refinancing the loan. So Johnny, I'll just kick this over to you. Like, how are you reconciling with what feels like a dream season turning into, just feels like there's a lot of negativity around the club, all within a matter of, like, it's been 10 days.
I mean, I'm not really letting it get to me. You know, I've kind of haven't had too much of a presence on Twitter. I've been kind of avoiding social media in general.
Same.
I think a lot of people are sharing their opinions. A lot of people are saying dumb stuff. A lot of people, you know, are just, you know, some Interisti who are, I'm not going to name their names, but are like kind of like in support of Acerbi being racist and just saying stupid stuff. Like, it's just, it's pretty easy to act tough and to act dumb with the anonymity that you have on Twitter. And just to see this kind of behavior from Interisti is kind of disgusting. And then when I see, you know, just the rumors about Oak Tree and stuff, I've been meaning to ask Nima about it, and maybe that's something we can figure out, where we can kind of maybe get him on one day and just talk about it, because I'm a little confused with some of the stuff that I read. But, and then you read different reports and you're just like, well, what's true, what isn't true? And you don't want to, like, I'm trying to enjoy this season for what it is, second star, you know? And if I already start thinking about the summer, like I have done in years past, it's just going to take away from the joy that we've been having. There's no reason to start panicking. You know, I see Interisti already saying, oh, if you think Lautaro's resigning, you're an idiot. And I'm just like, why are we going there already? Why are we already trying to bring, it's like, where I almost feel like our fan base is masochist, where we actually enjoy the suffering. We enjoy the pain. We enjoy the hurt.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a piece of it.
Yeah, like people just like to complain.
I think people that, I think like part of it is like Pazza Inter, like there's always, oh, like sure, there's a feeling of Inter is always going to fuck up, or Inter is always going to get screwed. And a lot of people come into the conversation with that negativity. And it has been, it sounds like you're on the same wavelength as me, but it has been unbearable in Inter Twitter, Calcio Twitter, the past couple weeks, just really sky is falling, all this stuff, and kind of taking away from what should be, like you said, it's about the second star, and that's what it was about coming into the season.
Exactly. You know, like, why are we not, why is this not good enough? Why is this not enjoyable? Do we want Champions League? Yes. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, I'm okay losing. Like, no, it bothers me. I'm upset that we lost. Because now seeing how Barcelona just dismantled Atletico, it's like, why did we struggle so much? Why did we play into their hand this way? Like, it's a little frustrating. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, Inzaghi out. Oh, Lautaro's a bum. Oh, like, I've seen some Interisti say, oh, Thuram isn't good enough for this level.
What, yeah, are you saying talking that he can't, about, he should, man? Like, he should have never been a center forward. Like, the reactiveness is wild. Wild.
So wild. And you know what? Like, somebody was liking one of my tweets from the summer, and I read over it, and I said some pretty dumb stuff, where I was talking about, like, how I looked at every player that was, you know, Onana out, Summer in. I compared, you know, all these players in and out, who came in, who came out. And I'm like, and we're expected to win this league. We're expected to finish top four. That's going to be a fight. That's going to be well, clearly I was wrong. And I'm okay being wrong with that. But it's like, this guy's like bragging about something I said in the summer. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Obviously what I saw on paper isn't what's playing out on the pitch. That's what happens. You know, like, you could be surprised. You could be pleasantly surprised in different ways. And it's like people just like to like point at oh, look how you were wrong, or look how this. I do it at a irony or to just troll people. Like, I'll be honest, I'm not going to sit here and say I don't do it. But I also don't do it just because like of whatever reason that these people just find joy in it. I don't find joy in proving people wrong or saying like, oh, look how wrong you were about this guy or whatever. You know, it is what it is though. I'm starting to just be fed up with social media. I think that if not even just Interisti, I think society in general is just draining me.
Yeah.
And I got other stuff to worry about, you know?
I mean, and this is like, you know, not to be a therapy session with you guys, but it's just more so like, love the sport so much and love this team so much, but at times you'll probably see me drop off of Twitter for a period of time just because it's just not, it's not enjoyable to be there sometimes. And it actually makes me feel like I want to get back into writing more like long form stuff. So instead of having these like little tit tats back and forth with even people in our own fan base, like just write some longer thing and give my thoughts there, or even just, you know, do it on the pod, because it just feels like Twitter has gotten to the point, at least within the cultural world, of just constant negativity, shitting on this person, comparing. Like, there was, what was today's thing? Fucking comparing Totti to Dybala. Totti never had a better career than Dybala.
That was an older thing.
Or yesterday?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Just like,
yeah.
So ridiculous, over the top shit that just the conversation is crazy. But anyway, those are the three big things that we need to talk about today: the game, the Acerbi incident, and the Oak Tree. What happens with that? Where do you want to go first?
Well, I don't know if we can really say anything on the Oak Tree thing. You know, I mean, unless you have more knowledge than I do, I don't really. I mean, if you do want have something you want to share from it, I'd be more than okay to start there, just because I don't have much to add to the conversation, to be honest.
No, I think, I mean, as far as the Oak Tree thing is concerned, I just think that, like, my initial sense on it, without obviously knowing all the details, is we've been told that the intention was always to refinance with Oak Tree and that it was likely going to happen. So What could have happened that they changed their mind on this thing? Could that mean that Jang is in more hot water with his creditors than we thought it was? If that was the case, why didn't he take any of the bids that were maybe close to $1 billion or over? Any, like, why didn't he take those seriously? And is it possible that he is going to repay, you know, this debt and not let Inter get out of his hands? I think it's a much bigger story for our future than maybe people are taking it right now. Because if this thing is not going to be in Jang's hands, like, whose hands is it going to be? Like, I feel great about Jang as an owner, but like, obviously this ship has sort of started to right itself, and it kind of feels like with all these sponsorship deals and the way that we've been able to stay competitive through a couple of years where we didn't have the ability to invest, and maybe, you know, the club is starting to get back on financial footing, that things were going to get better and we were going to start spending again. I just don't know where this leaves us. Not that I have an answer, but more so like, you know, wanted to get your take of like, how do you feel about the future? Because I feel a little uneasy right now.
It is tough to really think about, only because you did have those expectations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you kind of expect that. Well, from all indications, we like you said, we kind of thought that Jang would be able to refinance this loan and be able to keep the club as is. And obviously we do see with the investment we have had, with even though we had limited funds, we have been able to kind of just stay the course, being able to get guys like Pavard and so on and so forth to just be able to, you know, to continue to be competitive at this level. You hope, okay, if we're able to get out of this loan, and with the laws in China changing, you know, maybe we will be able to have some more investment and some more freedom in the transfer market and stuff like that. Okay, it wouldn't be so bad. Jang seems pretty confident about getting a new stadium, this and that. You know, it's like, all right, things are looking up. Now you look at it and you see these rumors. You don't know what Oak Tree would do. Obviously, I think Oak Tree would sell to the highest bidder, because then it's like, cool, we can more than double our money or whatever, you know, it's going to be, you know, from the previous loan. So if they could find someone, they consider that a slam dunk. The thing that worries me with that is, would we find ourselves in a type of situation that Milan is with Redbird?
I was going to say the same thing.
You know, like, that's, you know, yes, things aren't great with Zhang, but like, we don't know what it could be if we get bought by American ownership or if we get bought by.
I do not want to turn into a money ball club. I don't think that model works in European football.
It doesn't work in European football. It works when there's a salary cap or, you know, types of luxury taxes that could be accrued by teams that then kind of penalizes them. It doesn't work in European football. So with that being said, it's like, where do you go? What outlook do you have? And it's tough to guess. I mean,
Ziliakis is apparently facing charges.
He's facing charges in China, so that's not going to happen. But I also don't think that that was ever realistic. I think that he was just gaslighting Interisti.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, there's really, you don't see anything. Who knows? Maybe PIF like swoops in the last minute. I don't know. I mean,
that's kind of like mixed feelings about it. But also, like, the ideal situation would be somebody comes in with money.
My ideal situation is Roman Abramovich. Look what he did with Chelsea. He was not afraid to spend money.
The ideal situation is someone with deep pockets comes in, is not.
Russian.
Could be Russian, whatever. I mean, whatever it is. Like, it's not, you know.
Listen, we don't need Ukrainians on the team. I don't have a problem, you know. I'm kidding.
It's someone with deep pockets that won't get rid of Marotta, essentially. Marotta and Alzi, that like will understand that the club has been running well. So instead of getting rid of these guys and bringing new guys in, why don't we just take the handcuffs off these guys? Allow them to have a little bit more freedom and move forward like that. Although that's not how takeovers work. People take over a business. You don't really keep anyone from the previous regime. And that's what I'm worried about.
But I think whoever would come in would recognize their level of importance. And I think you would do their due diligence. If you're looking to invest in this club, you could see that this team has been able to remain competitive because of the work of Pepe Marotta and Piero Ausilio. Like, you just can't sever those ties. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to bring in Sabatini? Or you're going to bring in someone even worse? And not that Sabatini was bad. Like, he's done great. But, like, I don't know. Who's the guy from? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Branca, bring him back. Imagine.
Yeah, Branca, Sabatini. Yeah.
No, but like, I think people, one, would honor those contracts. I'm sure even if you're coming in, the buyout, is it really worth it? Probably not.
They're not that long either. What is it, 2026? No, 2027? 2027.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not too worried about that. I think people would understand their level of importance. So I don't really foresee that being an issue. It's just more so what is going to be your long-term goals? You know, are you going to want to just start investing in South America again and maybe bringing in those guys early so that you can kind of do what Benfica does? Are you going to want to buy the big players? Like, I don't know. And honestly, that's not appealing to me. Like, I don't want to become a plastic club. I know people love the idea of like buying the Mbappes and the Haalands and all that. Yeah, it's all good. Well, I'd rather find the Mbappes and Haalands before they get there.
Yeah.
Like, I miss being able to invest in Argentinian players. I miss being able to get young Italian players at the club and watch them grow and develop. You know, I mean,
when I say
there's so much talent,
I'm more so saying like, I want deep pockets, not so that I can go buy $100 million players. It's so that $100 million players. It's so that I don't have to sell my players.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have
to. I would rather buy like three $20 million players.
Exactly.
Than buy $1 million player.
I want to grab the kid from the Eredivisie, the kid from South America. Yeah.
I want Etegui early. I want Enzo Fernandez early. I want Julian Alvarez early. I want to find a guy like Goodmanson in the middle of nowhere, you know, or another Jan Bisek close to $6 million. And now look at that. You got a monster of a center back. Like,
Yeah.
That those are the kind of things I want to be able to find and not have to worry like, oh my gosh, this summer, is Barella out? Is Bastoni right. out? Is Lautaro out? Like, if I don't have to worry about that anymore, if those guys, see, the thing is, like, I want to be at a point where, like, if they want to leave, leave. Like, I don't want to keep people who don't want to be at this club, but I also don't want to be forced to sell people who do want to be at this club.
And you end up selling, you end up, like, when everyone knows that you're broke, that's how you get, like, Brozovic, oh, we'll give you 23. You know what? Actually, let's make it 18. And then you end up, like, your hands are tied because you're broke yeah. and you need the fucking money. Like, that's the situation that I want to get out of if we have to move off of Zhang.
Agreed.
You know, I don't, but I, again, like you said, the American ownership in Serie A has definitely seen its highs and lows for sure. I don't know. I don't even know how high the highs have ever got, but all right. So that's a story that's got to still unfold. Do you want to get into the game a little bit and then Acerbi and Juan Jesus?
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah.
Okay. And how do you want to talk about this game? Because it wasn't a barn burner. I mean, I think we can give like an overview and then touch on some key moments. If that works for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much to talk about with this match, but yeah, let's just hop into that.
So the starting lineup ends up being, you know, full strength. Pavard comes in, even though we had reports of Bissek playing. You had the starting midfield there. You had Di Marco and Darmian ended up starting over Dumfries, and then you had the forwards. Obviously, you know, not wanting to take the foot off the gas in Serie A after the Champions League exit. First half, I thought we played very well. We were absolutely the better side. Missed some chances. There wasn't really any like major actions until a beautiful, you know, team goal in the 43rd minute. Bastoni gets in, you know, gets down the left-hand side of the pitch, delivers a low cross into Darmian, who puts the ball away. Love to see Darmian scoring, because when Darmian's scoring, obviously we've seen some good things happen in terms of trophies in the years that he does that. So that was good to see. But outside of that, it was just like essentially business as usual. Like, it felt like we got right back onto the horse and, you know, brought the intensity to them. In the second half, we definitely dropped off our intensity. And I guess this is the first question that I got to toss your way as far as the game is concerned. You think that had to be the 120 minutes in Madrid that did that to us, right? Because we were just like in quicksand the whole without second half.
Yeah, without a doubt. I don't think that there was anything else that played into that. I don't think that they were beat mentally. I don't think that they were giving up. I think that they were just exhausted. They really were. 120 minutes, and then you have to go into penalty kicks. And even though not everybody takes a kick, that still is adrenaline pumping through you. You know, I don't know if people know this, but adrenaline drains you. You get it. You get very tired when your adrenal glands are working in overload. So,
adrenaline dump, they call it.
You have that happen, you lose, then you got to like deal with that low and then bounce back. You got to get on a plane, come home, start training, and then get into a match against Napoli, which are kind of on a third manager bump, maybe, if you want to call it that. Like, I think we outplayed them for the most part of the match. I think obviously, yeah, fatigue played into it. And then, you know, a guy gets caught sleeping on the back there and lets his man get open and put in a goal. And then you get an unfortunate equalizer. It is what it is.
Yeah. I was just taking a deep breath there. You mentioned outplaying them. Like, you know, I know the stats aren't everything, but the XG was superior on either side. The shot total number of shots was superior on Inter's side. The total shots on target was superior on Inter's side. But it did feel like we wanted to just coast after going up 1-0. Napoli didn't have a shot on target in the first half. And I think like all the there are a lot of people saying like Napoli, you know, outplayed us in the second half. I mean, they definitely played better and they were more into the game, but we do have to take context into account. Like Inter was coming off of a 120 minutes in Madrid, and obviously the disappointment that comes with what happened there. And then there's a couple incidents at the end that I think are worth just touching on. Thuram and Rachmani have a coming together in the box late in the game. Your thoughts on the challenge and whether or not that should have been considered a penalty?
Not a penalty. Stop that. That was such a light touch, and he went down like he was sniped. Marcus, I don't want this to be a trend because a lot of people already think you go down easily in the box, and I don't want it. What's going to happen eventually is he's actually going to get fouled. It's going to be a clear-cut penalty, and then he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt because people think that he just goes down too easily. Like, someone needs to talk to him about that. That is honestly my only negative about him. There was no need to go down. I feel like actually it would have been better for him to try to drag it back and cut it behind him and then go in on goal. Or if he tries that, maybe he actually gets tripped up and it turns into a legitimate penalty.
Yeah.
To me, no penalty. If that happened to us, and let's say Bastoni did the same thing and they called it, I would have lost my mind and I would have assumed that it was rigged. So, no.
I agree on there being no penalty, although I do need to acknowledge the fact that there was contact. There was contact, but I think knowing Thuram, like, it wasn't enough. And also, that would have been the biggest, if they called that, that would have been the biggest everyone running to Twitter to throw up Marotta League ever seen of the whole season. Yeah. So, like, that, to that not even, I'll take how miserable it's been, I'll take the freaking point over having to do it. That's not true. I would have taken the 3 points and lived with it, but that would have been, everyone would have been freaking out. There was another challenge, again on Thuram, with Meret. A cross is delivered towards the far post. Thuram and Meret both go up, and I think, I can't even remember off the top of my head now, who wins the challenge. I don't, do you remember the challenge? You talk about Thuram, it. Let me bring up the...
Thuram gets to the ball first and then gets hit by Meret. Now, that one should have been a penalty because, well, and I'm only saying it should have been a penalty because of what we saw with Sommer and, what was his name now? Nzola.
Yep.
Like, if that's a penalty, which we clearly see Sommer get to the ball first and then follow through him, which to me is not a penalty, but then I got to know, you know, you and I were called idiots because, you know, I forgot how it was put, but we were called idiots because of that. And even though I brought up what IFAB said, whatever, it doesn't matter with that. If that was a penalty, according to them, this is a penalty. Because look, he redirects it. He heads it.
We're watching the video now.
Yeah.
And you can see Thuram clearly gets there. Yeah. Boom. But the difference between the Sommer and Nzola is Meret is almost like a palm where he's clearly trying to palm the ball out, and Sommer's was a punch. Like that, yeah. That's the big, at least like just the big discernible difference that I could see from the video here. But this is another no penalty for me because I didn't think the Sommer one was a penalty.
I mean, to me, like, it's not a penalty to me either. Like, I just think that's incidental contact. But I'm saying it's a penalty because if the other one's a penalty, this is a penalty. That's how I'm looking at that. Like, I want consistency. Who was the other key? There was another goalkeeper. Not the Manyan one. I mean, Manyan we already know about. There was another one, though, that...
Oh, wait. So, hold on. Never mind.
What happened now?
I spoke incorrectly. That is a penalty.
What is a penalty? This one.
No. Thuram's is a penalty. Because, Sommer gets to the ball. prior to Nzola. Turam
wins the ball. That's why I'm saying it. But to me, that it should have been a penalty. To me, neither one of them are realistically penalties. Like, to me, like, that's just incidental. Like, he's going up.
No, actually, never. Turam beats him to the ball. I take it back.
Don't even listen, Alessandro. He has lost it. He's already in South Beach mode. He's ready to watch Italy play in Fort Lauderdale, and he's not even here for the podcast, realistically.
No, it's not losing it. I'm just talking through it and watching the video, and I'm deciding.
He's looking dapper. He's not even involved in the podcast right now.
No penalties. He's
85 and sunny right now. He's leaving New York. He's thrilled.
No, these things can't be, neither of these things can be called penalties, because that's not the game that I want to watch. That's Agreed. What I've decided. I don't want to watch that game. It's too soft. There are two players challenging for the ball in both incidents.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't understand why it should have just never been. It should have never been called on someone. Thank goodness we were able to not have an equalizer scored on us there. So we kind of moved on. And it's like, whatever, whatever. But now here, listen, you can make the argument. You can make the argument that it should have been a penalty because Turam gets there first. But like you said, neither are penalties. I don't even know why we're talking about it. It's not a penalty.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that game. I don't want to watch the game. No, I don't want it to. Every piece of contact in the box is a penalty.
What I do want to talk about is this rumored new offside rule, real quick.
I hate it.
I agree. What I think they should do is. Now, you let me know what you think. This is how I've always felt, though. Upper body, in my opinion, if we're running next to each other, but I'm leaning more forward than you are. You're the defender. I'm the striker trying to get onto a ball that was played. If I'm leaning more forward, to me, that's not offside. If my lower half is ahead of you, that's offside.
Yes, absolutely. Like that's the problem with those images is that if you're, depending on how you're running, like if your arm swings out ahead. Yeah, like ahead, if
I'm swinging out ahead of you.
That should
offside,
not be.
Offside, they call me. But if my rest of my body is offside, but I have a finger ahead of you. Offside, like that to me is the problem. But now if you want to make it where the full person can be ahead, or no, he could, like, I don't know, I don't like this. I think with the way referees are across Europe, you're just going to be making things even worse.
Yeah,
but
if your feet are in line, I don't like, that's enough for me. If your feet are in line, that's enough for me. If an arm is swinging forward or you're leaning or your head, that's fine. But if their body, if their feet, like, you know, the hips are almost lined up, then you're good.
I agree.
Oh, that would be a disaster.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone from this game, let's just give a best performance and a worst performance.
I've got nobody that stands. I think the only thing I got excited about was I got to see Buchanan play. And I liked it. He didn't get any calls. That was infuriating. He should have had at least, I want to say, three, maybe four fouls drawn, and not a single one was called. He could have had two free kicks in dangerous areas. Another one right on the edge of the box, on the left of it. Listen, he's going to be a problem. Once he is given more minutes and more freedom to do what he wants to do, and there was one instance where Bastoni took a guy out. I forgot who it was, but the ball kind of just fell to Buchanan. He took off like a gun, like a shot out of a gun or a shot out of a cannon, whatever the phrase is. He was fast. That's all I'm going to say. And I got so excited because I was like, he's going to be clean on goal. He's going to score his first goal. And then they called it back, rightfully so. But I got so excited in that little instant that I was like, Buchanan's going to do more in this minute than Dumfries has done all season. But whatever.
Yeah, he definitely needs to get some playing time here. Down if the stretch, especially if we're like, this lead is not getting, you know, really cut into that badly, like there's no reason to not see what he is, because you have to know where you're putting your money this summer. Yeah, like if he is a full-time player at both, you know, left wing and right wing, like that's a big deal.
And if he's a full-time flop, I want to know that now.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't want to know that in game 27 of next season, and it's like, oh, we got another Robin Gosens in the situation on our hands, only this guy's Canadian, you know, like
And you've got Empoli Cagliari coming up. Like,
bro, he's got to start one of those games. Just one of those games, he has to start it. Because then you know what happens? If you're, let's say it's 0-0 going into the 60th minute, now you can bring on Di Marco. Now you can bring on Carlos Augusto. You could bring on Darmian, whatever you want. He has to get one of those games from minute one, and I want to see it.
Empoli, Udinese, Cagliari. Before the Derby.
But like, all Udinese, of, like, he probably wouldn't play. But like, the other two.
Play all of them. Play all
I'm
of
down.
Them.
I'm down.
The only big game left is Milan. Then it's Torino, Sassuolo.
Is that a big game? Is it a big game? Like,
well, the only game of like, you know.
Is it? I don't think it's a big game, bro. If we own a team, it's not
first,
a big game anymore.
First place for second place. That's what I mean by big game.
Allegedly, they're second place. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
When you're that far behind, though, I think there should be like a 17th place or something like that. Like, you're not.
Yeah. Serie A 1 and Serie A 2.
Yeah.
That's what it is. All right. So I have no best performer. I thought Darmian probably, if I had to give one, give it to Darmian. He scored the goal. Kvara didn't do much of anything against him. I'll give it to Darmian. Flop.
It better be who I think you're going to say. It better be who I think you're going to say.
Acerbi.
No. No. Alleged racism doesn't mean you're a flop.
Well, you know, I don't want to get canceled. So if you're going to ask me who's the worst on Sunday, I'm going to, you know.
I'll say it. Cancel me. I don't care. It was Denzel Dumfries.
Really?
It was Denzel Dumfries, bro. People, how do you get caught sleeping on the back post and let Juan Jesus, of all players, get free? I would have felt better in that instance if he took him down in the box, like just bear hugged him and went down. If you give up that penalty, I would have been like, you know what? I'm proud of you. You didn't give up a soft goal. Now, granted, yes, Bastoni goes up, gets his head onto it first, and then it leads to, you know, Juan Hay, but like, don't lose your man. Your man marking for a reason. There was no reason for you to let that guy go. It's Juan Jesus. This guy has never scored against us. And you, of all people, Denzel Dumfries, have let the worst center back probably in the history of Serie A. That's not even an exaggeration. I don't think there's a worse center back that's ever played for Serie A to get free like that and score a goal. And you could see how happy it was to score against Inter. So to see him have joy against my team, after all the years of suffering I had to do with him playing for me. Oh, man, that upsets me. That upsets me, Denzel. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to nitpick on you, and I'm sure Huyan's going to quote tweet this episode and say something about me picking on his boy. But if you are going to defend him to the ends of the earth, you better be able to accept some criticism for him, too.
Yeah, it's a poor goal to concede.
Alessandro just got an update from American Airlines asking him to check in for his flight. He's out, bro. He's out, ladies and gents.
I'm not out. It's a poor goal to concede. Denzel, you know, came on as a substitute. I'm trying to find an excuse to like not rip him because I want to play the other side of this here. But no, it was bad defending. And we've been susceptible. Actually, this is my way out. Found it.
We've been my gosh, bro.
Little pivot here. We've been susceptible to...
Yo, when did you become the country of Switzerland?
No, I found it.
Remaining neutral.
No, I found it. We've been susceptible to set-piece defending, poor set-piece defending this year. We have.
No, I'm just booing you for finding a way out.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. All right. So that's the Napoli game. Let's talk about this this Acerbi situation. Everything that's coming out about this is real bad.
It's pretty wild, though. Like,
the behavior of everyone involved in this situation, except for actually Inter as a club, I think has been bad. I think the Inter statement, which was very much like, we Acerbi left the national team and we're gonna talk to him and then we're gonna see what the result is of the investigation. That's what they said, and that's all you need to say.
And that's all you have. Yeah, that's all you need to say. That's all you really can say, unless you're gonna just start speculating. And
right,
there's no reason to defend your player because you don't know the facts, and there's no reason to throw him under the bus because you don't know the facts.
Exactly.
Now, if it comes out though that there is any truth to this, my stance, I know it's not going to happen.
Wait, before we get into the takes, let's talk about what we saw. Okay? Watching live, saw Juan Jesus speaking with, who was it? La Pena. Speaking with him, very animated. He was upset. Something obviously set him off, right? And then you saw like DiMarco go over, covering his mouth, speaking to the ref. But I didn't see an Acerbi and Juan Jesus incident on the pitch. When I saw Juan Jesus talking to the ref, I was kind of like, this guy is so annoying because he annoys me. Then after the game, Juan Jesus is interviewed and he basically says something was said, but I'm leaving it on the pitch. You know, what was said, and we'll move on. Obviously, you can't just say that, right? Something is going to come of the suggestion that you say of like, something was said to me that didn't sit right with me, but I'm going to leave it on the pitch. It doesn't matter. You brought it up. So now it's happening, right? The wheels are set in motion. So apparently it's a racial slur that was used. Video starts to come out of Acerbi going up to Juan Jesus and basically saying, no, I'm not racist. And there's video of him pointing at Thuram and just like, not good. Things that don't look good at all. Acerbi goes to the national team, apparently explains, you know, his side of the story, but gets sent home regardless because, you know, they don't want him to be a distraction and he's got to work out his own thing. The federal prosecutor opens up an investigation. Acerbi himself is interviewed saying that he'd never used the word. The N-word in this instance is what is alleged to have been said. Pastorello, his agent, comes out and says that word was never used. And then the next twist that happens is that Juan Jesus, after saying, I'm going to leave it on the pitch and whatever happens, he makes an Instagram post basically saying, I saw what Acerbi said. I saw what Pastorello said. And that doesn't sit right with me because you did say that word. And you're lying to the press. I know it. And you know it. And basically calling him out. The Curva Nord, which we all were desperate to not hear from.
Skip them. Yeah, I don't want to talk about them on this podcast, bro.
Just because it is a part of what goes on with the Inter, they did put out a statement saying we stand with Acerbi, you know, unless something comes out otherwise.
Of course the unemployed have something to say.
So, okay. I think that's where things stand right now. The only other thing that we know is that on Friday there will be a video conference with Acerbi and the federal prosecutor. So let's talk about this. I think we have to talk about this. There's only one real question, right? If he did say it, and it comes out that he did say it, which it doesn't look good that he comes out and says, I never used that word, and Juan Jesus immediately is like, that doesn't sit right with me because I know you did. If he did say it, what happens to Acerbi? What do you think is the appropriate action at this point in time?
What do I think the appropriate action is, or what do I think is actually going to happen?
Both. Give me both.
The appropriate action is to terminate the contract. That's my opinion. To me, you should have a zero tolerance policy. Like, if you want the fans to have their freedom, that's one thing. Do I agree with it? No. But as players, I feel like you should have a mutual respect of one another and not use that type of language against one another. Like, I could talk trash without going to that point. You could have said so many different things to him. You could have called him a trash defender for all you want. You could have said so many different taking so many cheap shots at him. If you had, you know, something to say, you did not have to go there. What I think is actually going to happen is possibly a fine, and I would say maybe a one-game suspension. And even that isn't enough. Like, I just don't...
Propose suspension for that behavior is 10 games.
Is it? Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah.
And then at that point, right, there's not even 10 games left in the season?
No, the season's over.
Yeah, I would just terminate the contract. Because I don't think that he should even be able to take part in Scudetto celebrations, in photos, in memories, none of that. Like, you did this. It's disgusting. End of story. Like, there's no coming back from that. No matter how you are liked in the locker room, no matter how your teammates may feel about you. You know,
and a lot of people have come out in his defense saying that he is not, that's not his character. Right. I'm not defend.
I don't think so either.
I agree with you.
I'm a little surprised by this. Like,
I'll give my thing for you. Like, I completely am on the same page. Terminate the contract. It's not, if we're going to run these campaigns and say no to racism and all that,
then
it applies to your favorite player, you know, even if it applies to your
unless it's Barella. Barella gets the pass.
But he gets
everybody else.
He has the card. So, no, but that's the way that this thing should work. And if he did use that language, then for me, he's out. Even with everyone saying that that's not in his character and that's not what he meant or anything like that. You know, if you go there, then you went there and these are the consequences.
Agreed.
Yeah, which is sad because I think we've come to really like love Acerbi and what he's given to this team. And, you know,
I would be very disappointed, though, that if it does come out that he's, and I mean by he, like Juan Jesus is making this up. And trying to make, you know, maybe something else was said. Maybe let's say, for example, the way like, I mean, we don't know what happened between Materazzi and Zidane, but, you know, Materazzi, it's rumored that he said something about Zidane's sister, you know, like, yeah, you know, that's probably off limits too. But if it comes out, it was said something like that, and then he just turns it into a race thing to kind of cause more problems.
Right. Which we've seen happen before. Hasn't Neymar been, wasn't there an incident with Neymar where he alleged racism and then nothing?
Yeah,
like that didn't happen.
I forgot exactly the
context. That is a possibility, but I think it doesn't look good. And I think that if the incident occurred and Juan Jesus is telling the truth and Acerbi is lying about it, that sucks. And they should terminate his contract. And he'll get a job. I mean, someone will pick him up.
Yeah, Lazio will bring him back.
I'm all for, like, you know, second chances and people making mistakes. It's just in this situation, like, you can't let that stuff happen.
No, you can't. I think that like if it goes unpunished, if it comes out that he did say these things and Inter doesn't do anything, well,
what does that say about Inter?
Inter, and what does that say about the black players on Inter? You know, if I'm Marcus Thuram, do I feel good about being here? If I'm, you know, Akin Samiro, like, do I want to stay? Do I want to re-up? You know.
What do you think is going on in that locker room? Obviously, they're all gone for international break, but when they get back, let's say they get back and it is Acerbi, you know, came out and did say what he said. Like, what do you think happens in that locker room if you were to get in the mindset of those players?
Oof, man.
Because I could see that they've spent, you know, Thuram has spent a year with Acerbi. Like, they've, you know, Denzel's been with him for a while, 2 years now. Like, I could see that they're like, no, he's not racist. But it would also be in the back of my mind, like, you really didn't just say that. Like,
yeah.
Even if you were trying to mess with somebody, like, that's...
That, to me, that's like, yeah, it's just... That's a line you don't cross. Like, I would not feel good about that as a teammate. And it's like, is he thinking about that to me?
Right.
You know, thinking about that about me behind my back, is he saying these kinds of things to whatever
friends?
If
we weren't on the same team,
would
right?
Would he be saying this about me? So yeah, like I this has to be cleared up. I think a lot of things need to be brought to light and kind of just made known. I feel like he needs to have a conversation with some of the guys in that locker room, whether it's, you know, Turam, Dumfries, Cuadrado, whatever. Like, I feel like you need to just, I don't know. Like, I don't even think apologizing is enough. You know, like, so I can't even say you need to apologize for that. Like, I don't think that's even enough.
Like, I also don't think things like when you, like, send a player to, like, you know, mandated, like, what, counseling, re-education, whatever. Yeah,
like, if that's in your mindset.
I would never, exactly. Like, that's where I get weird, where it gets very, like, fucked up for me, too. I've never been on the pitch thinking about using those words to rile up an opponent. Like, it wouldn't even come to my mind. Like, it's for that to come to him in that moment, like, that's not good.
Yeah,
not good.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that's not the case. I really hope that that word wasn't used. And if it was, I'm going to stand behind my, you got to terminate. And I think if they don't, I think fans, not the Curva, forget the Curva. I think the rest of Interisti need to kind of put pressure on the club to do the right thing here. You know, I think that it would speak volumes to, like, you know, young guys like Bisek, you know, Akin Samiro and, you know, Kamate. And I think they would be like, all right, like, they really are brothers of the world. Like, they stand behind what they preach, you know.
And also, you know, you made the point earlier about seeing some Interisti on Calcio Twitter that were not bothered by this language. I think for the most part, the people that matter on Inter Twitter have been very much firmly in the camp of, like, we're not okay with our player saying this. I also, like, the hilariousness from, like, fans of other clubs that come in and, like, yeah, well, it's Inter, you know, to be expected, is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Just, like, anything that happens negative with Inter, like, make it about yourself, dude. But anyway, I think Interisti are pretty, like, the prominent Interisti, at least in the Inter Twitter world, are pretty unanimously on the same page about what happens with Acerbi here if the ruling does go against him. So it'll be tough for that locker room, I'm sure, as far as, like, you know, what happens to the actual team, like, how does this translate on the pitch, which is a part of this, right? You know, Acerbi goes down for the next 7 games. You have, you know, De Vrij as your center back, and you know, we get a look at what other combinations might be there. But I think the long-term ramifications of this ultimately are going to be, if he is sanctioned and it is confirmed that he used that language, then I don't think Interisti should expect to see Acerbi in the Inter colors next year, even with that contract. I think it gets terminated. And I wonder if there is a clause in the contract that it's terminated for cause or something like that, where you don't have to buy out.
Yeah, I was curious about that too. And somebody was asking me about that. I was like, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know the details of his contract. So I don't know if this would be grounds for termination. But yeah.
Yeah, there's not much more we can say. We don't know what happened. We can say that if it did happen, then, you know, we're against it. Don't want to see him playing for our club, but it's hard to predict what's going to happen, because apparently they don't have any video that is helpful here. All they have is, like, wide shots. It happened after a corner.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm just kind of curious now. I know we were kind of talking about it, but let's say I think that, and you know, I think you could kind of make an argument that most of us are okay with this because one, Achebe's older. Two, we think that he's kind of on his last legs. But let's say it was like a player in his prime. You know, let's say it was Barella. I mean, let's throw that out there. How would you feel? Like, would you think that we have to terminate Barella's contract? Do you think that that's something that would have to be played out differently? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just curious what you would think.
No, it's a really good question. It's also a really interesting one to ask a couple of fans that live stateside, right? Because are we not, Johnny, used to our sports team hanging on to domestic violence, people that, you know, like do stuff like that? Like, are we not, you know, people that get into drunk driving, you know, hit and run, stuff like that, beat their wives, like all that stuff.
I think hockey players are held to a higher standard in the domestic violence realm. Like, I mean, you've seen players get not only cut by their teams instantly, but like blackballed, like Slava Voynov, not even allowed back in the NHL, rightfully so. I'm trying to think who the other guy was.
Sexual assault victims, perpetrators, we've seen like continue to stay with their squad or even be picked up. And it's like one of those things where in the American sporting world, a lot of those players, depending on how talented they are, end up surviving. Like one of the biggest examples you can use.
We know Barella would be picked up instantly.
Yeah.
Like, but you cut like him, somebody's picking him up.
Tyreek Hill with the Dolphins. Like, he's been...
Why gotta bring my Dolphins into this?
No, but I'm just... Well, it's you've seen it. You've seen it up close and personal. He's not a good guy, and he's been allowed to stay.
He's getting away with murder.
But then honestly, you see, like Trevor Bauer is out of the league, and he actually was never innocent. Charged with anything.
It was proven that she lied about it.
But I don't think it was proven that she lied about it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Was it?
The text messages were show that she was planning to set this all up.
I don't know. I don't know enough about that to comment on it. I don't want anyone to come for our podcast. But
they can look it up. They found text messages where she was texting a friend. She's like, I'm about to trap me an MLB player. She's like, I'm gonna let him think he can do whatever he wants, something like that. And then I don't know
exactly what happened there, but the example of the Trevor Bauer thing is more so like this was a player who was accused, wasn't ended up being charged, but is still, given the details that had come out that were so horrific, is still not being given a contract in the league. So anyway, all of that is to say, like, the perspective that we have from our like local sports is that essentially if you are really good, it's not going to matter. I personally don't think that should be applied. And I think if it was Barella, and I think the European culture is a little different, I do think that, you know, like Mason Greenwood was terminated by Manchester United, ended up getting picked up by Getafe in La Liga. I do think Barella would end up playing. And this is like, again, hypothetical. Like, we're just trying to explain the situation of like, what if this happened to your best player? I do think he ends up playing somewhere else, but I don't think that, you know, if something happens at Inter, even if it's your best player, I think they do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm thankful we don't have to deal with that situation. And it was just like make believe, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, but yeah, that's obviously that's the situation. We'll see how it plays out. I am curious what comes out of this with the independent investigator or the federal prosecutor, however. So,
all right. So, to wrap things up, vibes are not high at Inter anymore. The immaculate season has turned a little sour, and really, really hoping that the next 7 games go our way, one more derby win this season would be awesome to have. I've got my tickets for Inter Cagliari on April 14th. There's that.
This guy's all over the world, man.
Yeah, it's an exciting time.
He's going to Miami. Gonna watch them. Then he's going to Milan to watch the Cagliari game. I mean, I gotta. If anyone's looking for a position as a co-host, apparently mine is just up and leaving all the time.
Well, I'll actually be with a multi-time guest on the Interviews Pod tomorrow to see.
Wow, you're gonna be with Nima?
Italy, Venezuela. Yeah, Nima made the trip out from Sweden to watch Venezuela.
Nima, who hates flying.
Yeah. He's watching Italy, Venezuela, and Miami. That's what Nima has chosen to do with his time. But yeah, it should be fun. Hopefully, you know, things around Inter will pick back up here in a little bit. But it's also, you know what, Johnny? It's nice to have a little break. The international break is kind of coming at a nice time because I think, you know, the players need a little bit of a breather here.
I agree. Yeah, I think that it'll be best for all the guys to be able to get a little time off, hopefully be able to refresh, spend time with family, you know, not be caught up in this. So, yeah.
I just got a notification that you're going to be making an appearance somewhere tonight. Do you want to plug your...
That's why we got to wrap this up. Yeah, no, I'm going to be appearing on the Calcio Guys to kind of talk about Inter and this international break. So
nice.
Gonna hype up Italy a little bit.
Nice. Yeah. Those guys, they're good people. So definitely check them
out. Very good people.
While you can. All right. Is it time?
It's time, man. I got to eat something before I go on that other podcast.
Yeah, go enjoy. All right, guys. We'll see you soon. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi.